Hello and welcome to the Aquapod, a special edition of the Aquapod, as we share some exciting news. I'm joined again by our national coach, Ian Wright. How's the last couple of weeks been for you, Ian?
Pleasure to be with you again, Charlie. The last couple of weeks has been extremely busy, to be fair. As you know, we were down in London for the best part of 8 days for that amazing Olympic and Paralympic trials. British Championships, and it didn't stop there for a lot of us though. We went to Aberdeen the day after that and just got back from 5 days in Aberdeen at the Scottish National Age Group Championships, which was fantastic as well. Some really great swimming going on there, over 1,000 athletes taking part. So we've had it full on for the last 2 weeks, but all good.
Yeah, it's been good fun, hasn't it? Lots of great swimming and some really good performances. I think what we will do though is we'll start with the kind of headline news that we have 5 Scots heading to Paris on Team GB with a further 2 from Scottish programmes as well. So we have Kathleen Dawson, Lucy Hope, Kiana McInnes, Duncan Scott and Katie Shanahan as the Scots, all from the University of Stirling, and they are joined as well by Angara Devins and Jack McMillan. How do you kind of assess that, Ian? A really good kind of hall of athletes on the team.
Yeah, first of all, it's really good for them, for the programme. They all have trained at the University of Stirling this season. Some have been there a long time. 1 or 2 of them are quite new to the programme. And it's you've got to credit their coaching team and the support staff around that. They've done a great job to get those athletes ready for the trials and then across the line in terms of getting nominated to Team GB for Paris. So we're really pleased, to be fair. The week started well when we were in London. Kiana McInnes swam very well at the beginning, and then we started adding other people as the week went on. And so when we were halfway through and we were like, this is, it's
looking
a good
strong.
Week, you know, it's strong. And then we were still trying to get other people on. We didn't get every person on that we hoped, but 5 Scots on the Olympic team definitely matches the expectations we had hoped for going into the event. And it's nice that there's 7 in total who train in Scotland, even if 2 of them are not home nation Scottish, that's fine. We're still proud to have them part of the programme because they train here in Scotland.
Absolutely. And
what we want to do, of course, is demonstrate that Scotland is a place where you can do your training, do your studying, and still qualify for the big events such as the Olympic Games.
You mentioned there about Kiana McInnes. It was obviously a terrific swim on the Tuesday in the 200 metre butterfly, beating the world champion as well under that Olympic nomination time. How important is it to almost have a swim like that that sets a marker to your Stirling teammates, but also to kind of the fellow Scots as well, and go, look, someone can get on the team and they can do it in style as well?
It's really helpful if you can do something on the first day of a meet where for that individual, then it has an impact on their teammates or the rest of the group that they're with or the country, that if it shows that that person's in form, therefore it increases the confidence of other people saying, well, if they're in form, I'm probably going to be in form as well. And it just shows that if one person can do it, then the door is open for other people to do it as well. Of course, they still have to go and execute the race correctly. It's not just going to happen. So there's still a job to be done. But it also makes for a good atmosphere amongst the team, and the coaches feel a little bit more relaxed. And it takes a little bit of that tension away because, as we've talked about with before, the tension in the Olympic trials is a unique kind of tension. And it can build up over each day. And for anyone or for the whole program, but you know, if you get someone on the team and then someone else on the team and someone else on the team, you can just ease a little bit of that, and it makes conversations a little bit easier to have.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess it's a good sign for the summer as well, isn't it, when someone can go out there and perform in that high pressure environment. It almost takes the pressure off to a certain extent going into Paris in the summer.
In some ways, yeah. But I like to think about this. There's two distinctly different things. There's a unique tension and anxiety or pressure, whether you want to call it, at the Olympic trials. Sometimes athletes even describe it as even harder than the pressure that you find at the Olympics. Maybe it's the fear of missing out of being at the Olympics, especially if that you're someone who should make it. Going to the Olympics is a different type of swimming. You could say it's the same event under similar pressure, but you have to separate the two. Getting on the team is one thing. That's not the job done. You know, we've tried hard over the last 20 years, if you like, to really sell that to athletes. We're not about just making the team. The job is what you do in the summer. So to, you know, even if you get on the team with a slightly below par performance, that's fine. You're on the team.
Yep.
You can go around, bring that back in the summer and deliver your best there. You want the best performances. You don't want to leave them at the Olympic trials and then go and do okay. You want to move it on from the Olympic trials and do even better at the Olympic Games. We know that if you can do that and either set a season's best or a personal best at the Olympic Games, the chances of you achieving the outcome that you were hoping for, whether that's a final or a medal, are vastly greater. Because on average, across the whole of the world, of the top athletes who do go to the Olympic Games and the swimmers, it's typical that only about 30 to 40% of those will actually achieve their seasonal best performance in that hotly contested arena. So if you can be one of the ones who just does that, you're in with a much better chance. And that's one of the things we try to focus them on doing. Making the team is good, but the real job is still to come.
How do you go about that then? Obviously, you've been in that position as a coach and you're now in that position in, you know, a slightly different role. But what are the kind of things that you focus on as a coach in that situation to try and get that across to your swimmer that, you know, we've done well to get to this point, but we need to step up that level further as well?
Well, you're having those conversations all the way through, not just at the event itself. You're telling them, and you're trying to plan your training subtly, very subtly, because you still need to be at your best at the, want to come to the trials with your best performance. But you still need room for somewhere else to go after that, that you can step up your training again and move it on again for later on, you know. And for some athletes, they probably realised, if they think carefully about their swimming over the years, often they've shown that it's actually better to, they can swim faster into the summer rather than in the springtime, whether you want to call it the weather or it's nicer, or and when they're growing up, it's quite often, well, school is out, college is out, etc. There's a bit more relaxation about them. They can focus a bit more solely on the swimming. In this context, it's you know, you just want the Olympic Games to bring the best out of them. So it's a difficult task as a coach, and you have to think it through with each person carefully. There's going to be a strategy with each person, both physically and mentally, as to about how you go about that. But you can see there are people who've demonstrated that. We saw it with Katie Shanahan in 2022 when she qualified for the team in the Commonwealth Trials. She did okay, she got her nomination times, but she wasn't really satisfied with the performance. But we knew, just, hey, go away, come back in the summer, and you do the job. And that's what she did. So it's about thinking of it in that way and making sure they think of it in that way all the way through, and the value that performance, not just making the team.
It's interesting that you mentioned that, because I was going to as well. The group that we have going, I've got track records of being able to step it up, you know, when it matters. You mentioned Katie in Birmingham. We've got Duncan did it in Tokyo. Karen McInnes last summer in the European Under-23s. Really good performances, two golds. How sort of, you know, how much are you looking forward to seeing these guys go out there and hopefully perform as well?
Yeah, well, I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be, I think it's going to be an amazing Olympic Games coming up for the swimming. Turkey was good, but we all know that it was affected by COVID. There was no crowd. The atmosphere wasn't quite the same. This time, everyone's coming at it from all around the world with very high expectations of delivering and enjoying what they're doing. We saw that Duncan, he's demonstrated to us many times that he's good at that. He can deliver his best performance on that the day that it matters. In the Olympic final in Tokyo, he delivered his personal best time. Not just the season's best, his personal best time twice in the Olympic final. Ended up with medals as a result. Kathleen Dawson was very similar. Ended up with a gold medal in the relay. And so we're hoping we'll see that again. We know these guys can do it. We know their coaches work for them in that way. And fingers crossed, it's going to be good. Paris, you know, to some extent, of course, it's not a home games, but it's not far away. You know, it's quite easy to get from the UK to Paris. It's quite easy to go from London into Paris on the train. It won't feel like a long haul journey, this one.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to feel like a relatively quick hop over the channel. You know, you won't feel too far away from home in a distinctly foreign land. It's somewhere that people are probably quite used to having already been.
Do you think that'll play into their hands as well and hopefully improve the performance level?
I think for the Brits, and maybe for other people in Europe as well, it plays into their hands a bit. We've seen how, I mean, it's going to be mega, it's going to be hotly contested. We know the Americans can travel well. Sometimes Australians coming from their winter, travelling over to Europe in the Northern Hemisphere summer, sometimes people speculate they don't do that quite so well as maybe more local travel or Eastern Europe, Asian competitions. However, you cannot underestimate them. I'm sure they're going to be right on it, as will a lot of countries this year. So it's going to be tough one way or another. But having it in Paris, I think you can't say it's an advantage, but you can also say we know how to deal with that maybe a little bit better than having to travel to Tokyo or China or the far side of America, which will be a different challenge.
Certainly going to be interesting either way, isn't it? And just before we hear from some of the swimmers and Stephen Tigg as well, I thought it would be a good opportunity to mention the kind of range of programmes and clubs that have been involved in the swimmers that are on the team. For example, Kiana McInnes at Heart of Midlothian. We've got Katie Shannon, who was at Scotia and then came through at City of Glasgow as well. How good is it having that sort of spread of athletes across the country?
Yeah, it's really important, and it's a message we want to make sure sinks back down the pathway to all programmes, but particularly the programmes that they came through and the coaches that they worked with. Oftentimes, the people in the moment get a lot of the credit, but we have to remember these are journeys these athletes have been on. There's a lot of people have helped them through that journey. You mentioned Katie coming through Glasgow. We also had Lucy Hope coming through Borders, living down there, then moving up to University of Edinburgh, then over to University of Stirling. Kiana came through Heart of Midlothian with Phil Potter, the coach there. Did a great job, as he has with several other swimmers. Kathleen actually came up from Warrington in England, Scottish athlete, but had been living down there. She came through the Warrington Club before she came to Stirling. Duncan was at Strathallan School and first swimming club. So everyone has their own path to it, and it's important that we see that. You know, they've been at these swimmers that have trained in many different swimming pools as well. We did a recent look at that, and I think Katie herself has had to train in 12 different swimming pools over her journey to the Olympic Games. You know, they don't just spring out of one or two places. So the network and the environment and the infrastructure that we have supports a lot of these athletes, and it's not possible to say that, you know, that you know, well, we don't know. What I mean is, we don't know out there. There's people out there training in local pools with small clubs or coaches in programs that have not yet rose to prominence, who might be the next ones in 10, mm-hmm. 20 years' time.
Absolutely.
So it's really critical that we keep that recognition out there for the teams and places that have done that, and we keep our pools open and our environment working, that we can provide that pathway for these people to get there.
Yes, Katie, congratulations, first of all. The team's now been announced. How proud are you of yourself, and how busy is your phone at the moment with all the good luck messages and whatnot?
Yeah, I mean, well, firstly, I'm really grateful and lucky that all the messages I've had and stuff, and you know, thank you to everyone. But yeah, I'm just really, really excited, to be honest. Like, being here today and stuff, doing all the media and interviews talking about it, it's made it feel a lot more real. I mean, I know that we got the email to say that we're going, but yeah, it's just an email, really. I think being here, you know, in the Team GB kit and stuff, it's just really special. I'm really excited.
Yeah, when I spoke to Kiana, she couldn't believe how many people were here to,
yeah,
to see you
lot.
Guys. How does that kind of make you feel, knowing that there's going to be the amount of eyes on the sport in the summer as well?
Yeah, I mean, I'm more excited than anything, I'd say. I don't really get too nervous about stuff like that. And obviously, it's like, well, the Olympics is like the biggest sporting event ever, really.
Yeah.
So I know, I'm kind of aware of the amount of people that will be there and all the media stuff and, you know, friends, family, supporters and stuff. So I suppose in a way it will be nice that everybody will be there to watch.
Well, congratulations, Kiana. You must be really proud of yourself and your achievements. What's the kind of first emotion when you found out that your name was going to be on the team?
Yeah, it is just a bit overwhelming. It's really exciting. And as I've said to a few people, it's almost the sort of wanting to know who else is on the team. I think a lot of us, you get the email and you're messaging everyone else being like, are you on the team? Are you on the team? Because it is such a shared experience, and it's really exciting how many people are part of the team in Stirling.
And even like an experience like today, this would have been one of the first times you've done something like this. How has that been? And is it just a little bit weird knowing that you're going to be on the team?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't realise how many people were going to be here today. I think like that's blown me away. Like, there's so much interest in like speaking to us as athletes. I was like, oh my god, there's just so much to do.
And I guess that's positive though, isn't it? Quite often swimming doesn't get the coverage that we'd love it to get. What's your kind of feeling on that going into the summer? Do you want to sort of be part of that maybe wave that gets swimming more into the limelight if possible?
Yeah, I mean, I think Aquatics GB did a really good job at trials of sort of getting a lot more exposure, and there's definitely like platforms like Propulsion and stuff are doing a good job of giving athletes a lot more exposure. So given it's Olympic year, I think automatically that sort of happens, but looking to the future years, I think it would be good to see that continue.
So Lucy, congratulations first of all, selected on Team GB for a second time. What's the kind of just emotions now that it's kind of out there in the open?
Yeah, thanks very much. Honestly, kind of just like a little bit of relief. I think trials didn't really go the way that I wanted to, but kind of just done enough to get on the team and, you know, kind of just looking to improve into the summer.
And obviously you're on the team, part of the 4x2, really, really exciting. You guys won silver just a couple of months ago. It feels like ages ago, but just a couple of months. How excited are you to be part of that team, which has real potential kind of going into Paris?
Yeah, definitely. I think we've grown so much over the last even like 12 months. And it's really exciting to kind of put all of us together and see what we can do. And yeah, I think the silver in Doha has kind of like boosted us a little bit and kind of can continue that into the summer.
So first of all, congratulations, Steve, getting the record amount of swimmers on the team from University of Southern. You must be incredibly proud of your bunch of swimmers.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if somebody had said at the start of the trials we would manage to place 7 athletes onto the team, we might have been a little bit surprised, but testament
to the athletes first and foremost. And then
I guess what do you put that down to then, like having such a successful period? Is it the group? Is it the sort of support roundabout? Is it all those things, I guess? Is it just a combination?
Yeah, it's a combination probably of lots of different factors. The environment and the resources that were afforded by the university, first and foremost, the support that we get through Scottish Swimming, British Swimming, the guys from the institute that are here day in, day out working with us, the coaching team, and then, you know, primarily the group of athletes who, you know, are all really committed and focused on trying to be the best they can be. And, you know, they're at a level and they've got the ability that if they can achieve that, they're going to, you know, get the rewards.
And from a personal point of view as well, you must be incredibly proud, and you'll be joining them this summer in Paris. How will that kind of experience be, and how much are you looking forward to it as well?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, obviously, we was fortunate enough to support them out in Tokyo, but it was a different experience without the crowd. I remember being part of the crowd in Rio, and getting to go out and watch. Yeah. And I think it's going to be a great Games. It's quite close to home. Swimming, I think, is going to be really well supported. So I think to get to perform in that type of arena, you know, it's going to be pretty special. And we're looking forward to just getting the final preparations and seeing what we can do out there.
Great there to hear from some of our swimmers that are heading to Paris this summer, as well as Stephen Tigg. Righty, before we kind of move on, I'm going to take you back again to London and the British Championships. Now, obviously, these acted as Olympic qualifiers, as we've been discussing, but below that level as well, there was European Junior qualifiers. There's going to be the European Championships this summer as well, and also swimmers that were, you know, going for personal best, season's best, and national records as well. How did you kind of see the meet from that point of view, and was there any sort of performances that maybe stood out, or swimmers that you thought had exceptionally good meets?
Yes, I mean, yeah, you're right. It wasn't only about the Olympics and the Paralympic qualifications in London. There was other things on the line, and we had people who were doing very well in terms of that, who stood out, made personal best improvements that have hopefully, although the teams aren't officially announced yet, hopefully may have got them into some of those squads for the summer. I mean, I was particularly sticking briefly with the seniors. We had great swimmers from Holly McGill, Lucy Grieve, Matt Ward. Matt coming off the back of a really successful junior season last year, now stepping into the seniors. He broke the Scottish record for the 100-metre backstroke, which had stood for quite a long time. So really nice to see him making that transition well. Holly McGill was very close to making the team on the 200 backstroke, with their third place behind Honey Osgren and Katie Shanahan. And Lucy Grieve also swam really well in the 100-metre butterfly, getting second place behind her teammate Kiana. So they really stepped it up as well. Didn't quite make the Olympic, but, you know, fingers crossed they might make the European team later this summer. And on the junior side, we saw a number of good swims. Particularly, one of the standouts was Luke Hornsey. Swims currently for University of Edinburgh with Chris Jones, but was prior to that was with East Lothian most of his age group career. Swam really well. He's coming on really fantastically in the distance events on the men's side, from 200 all the way up to 1500 meters. He's making massive progress at the moment, and we think he's a good prospect for the future. He paces his races really well, so that's good to see. And there was also Susie McNair, who is also a 400 IM swimmer, a little bit like Katie Shanahan. She does a good range of events. She's in line for selection for European Juniors for the 400 metre individual medley. Susie trains currently with Sterling Swim, previously at First, and she could be one to watch out for, not just this summer in junior events, but hopefully going forward as well. And it's also one of our better juniors at the moment, and again, someone who we know from last year, swimming well at the Commonwealth Youth Games. It's nice to see Dean Fern from Aberdeen Dolphins carrying on that form this year. He's going from strength to strength with his coach Laura Bowie. He's came off the British Champs with excellent swims in the 100-metre butterfly, 100 back, 200 back, Scottish records. And then last week he went up to Aberdeen and competed again in the age groups, and a number of medals, but I was really impressed with his 50-metre butterfly that he did up there, breaking the 24-second mark at only age 16, 23.92, zeroing in on the senior mark of Gregor Swinney. So it could be interesting this summer in terms of how that race goes down, and maybe some him and others can move that event on a little bit more as well. So definitely some really good performances coming through underneath that very top level, and we're pleased to see that. And again, it's the more people we can have doing that from as many clubs and coaches as possible, we want to stress that's really important, the more chance we have of delivering at the top end in the longer term.
Sort of, you ended on Dean there. It was definitely an impressive performance in the 50 fly, and good seeing those types of performances at our own age group championships, not just, you know, down in London where he performed so well, becoming only the second Scot, I believe, to go under that 24-second mark in that event. Is it good for you as a national coach to see, you know, swimmers like this coming through and showcasing that, not just in London, but in Aberdeen as well at our own age group championships?
It is, obviously. I mean, you're delighted to see the records getting broken. It gives us, it shows the strength there. But it's also your hope that these people, even if they're young or at that age or a little bit older, like a Duncan Scott, they're inspiring other people to come through and aspire to maybe achieve what they're achieving. They see their people that they're at the competition with doing great things, and they're racing alongside them. Hopefully that brings on, in some small way, other athletes to try and achieve the same thing. So it's really good. You know, we only, I think the very best talent doesn't come around very often. You only get, sometimes it's one in a generation, but the more people we can find with good talent, the better. We then have to do a good job of keeping them in the sport.
Yep.
That means coaches and clubs need to look after them well, provide them with good experiences, that they enjoy the sport from a young age all the way through, but also make sure they have the opportunity to achieve what they're capable of achieving.
Yeah, and Snags gives that opportunity as well to swimmers, doesn't it? Whether that's someone like Dean, who's, you know, chasing Scottish junior records, to, you know, maybe a swimmer that's there for the first time and they're only on a relay, to swimmers who are pushing for their club to be the best club and they want to swim as many events and pick up as many points as possible. It really does deliver a wide range of opportunities, doesn't it?
That's right. It's a fantastic meet. It's, you know, it's the biggest domestic swim meet in Scotland in terms of the number of people who take part. It's very exciting. The stands are usually full of parents cheering everybody on, friends and family, and the kids get right into it. As I said, there was over 1,000 swimmers qualified for that event this year over the 5 days, five different age categories, swimming across all the different events. Relays are really intensely contested, and yeah, it's not just about the Deans, it's about the little kid who gets into one race or one relay, the club picks them. You know, I was talking to one coach who had a relay the day before the meet. One of the kids had broken their ankle. And then they had to pull in at last minute someone else to replace them, and that child hadn't got any other swims in the meet, but they were delighted to travel all the way up to Aberdeen from the Central Belt in order to take part in the Scottish age group. So it's something they aspire to be part of, and they know that if they're getting to that level, it's a good sign that their swimming is going well, and it's, as always, as with all of us, want to be part of something that's exciting and enjoyable to do. Be part of a team. You see the teams come together a lot more at that event. So, you know, we've got the drums out, there's the bells clanging, you know. People,
it's a great atmosphere, isn't it?
People got the face paints on. You know, it's really good atmosphere, yeah.
And I guess just before we wrap up, Ian, probably worth mentioning City of Glasgow and their achievement as top club. Third year in a row, I believe, after never having won it before. Do you want to maybe just have a little word on them? I know they're, you know, one of the bigger club programmes in Scotland, but still a big achievement to be able to take the top club trophy.
Yeah, it was Glasgow won the top club award for the third time in a row. And 2022 was the first time they'd actually won it, even though for some time they've been one of the bigger programs. And they've been able to retain that the last 2 years. Closely battled with Warrender this year. I think they were a little bit closer to them at the end than maybe last season. So I foresee that that battle will continue. But it's, you know, there's more clubs involved in it than that. There was, I think it was 70 or 80 clubs involved in the whole competition, you know, and we want to encourage coaches to try and get their summers into it and try and use that as another motivational way as to measure the development of your club or the success of your summers and how many points can you score and how far up can you get your club. And if you come 35th this year, can you get a bit higher next year and a bit higher after that? Keep that going up and challenge what traditionally thought of as the bigger clubs. But you don't have to be a big club to win or to be up there. You can do it with good coaching, good planning, good preparation, and you know, dedication, hard work. And we see, you know, great performances from teams like Geary, even, you know, largely a volunteer based run club in a small town, but really bringing lots of summers through to do well at an age group level. And it's great to see, you know, there was other places as well doing, who had a really good season or a good competition this year as well. So we want to encourage that. That, again, like I said earlier, the more teams that can do that, the better.
Thanks again for listening to the Aquapod. We appreciate your time and we'll see you on the next episode.